everyone, and welcome to
Let's Clear the Air
with Jess and Kaylee. We are so, so excited to be bringing you this weekly podcast talking everything from mind, stories, relationships, families, and everything in between. We really, really are so excited to be bringing you this every week, and we hope you are too.
Well, hello.
Hello, darling. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I am very well.
I don't understand how it's 3/4 of the way through February.
This is the thing. I think like everything is just going so quickly at the minute. I think after 2 years of lockdown and got our lives back, we're back to business, back to busying ourselves. And suddenly I'm like, oh, nearly my birthday.
When's your birthday? Wait, what day is your birthday?
March the 9th. Okay, I get a bit excited. So
yes, oh my gosh, that's so exciting.
33 I'm going to be. My Madness. Lucky number.
Have you got anything planned?
No. Although I do well with working in my own businesses and my acting schedules and stuff like that, I cannot organise a piss up in a brewery.
You're telling me that. Yeah.
My organisational skills for anything other than work are abysmal. It's terrible.
I know what you mean, though. It's kind of, I think as well, because we do have to, we are kind of in, like we rule our own schedules, it then becomes hard to deal with our social schedules. Whereas most people, I suppose, have like their 6 to 4, their 9 to 5s, and then they think, right, let's schedule everything else around that. Whereas for us, I think we schedule so much 7 days a week anyway. So if we even think about social things outside of that, it's like, in there.
Yeah, it blows my damn mind. It was like the thing we were saying in the last, one of the other episodes was how, when there's too much on, thinking of anything else just is override.
Yeah.
And for me, social things is like, I can't get my head around it.
I can't. I think as well, like, I think we've said this as well, is that we have so many friends from different parts of our lives and things like that, that sometimes when people have one big kind of piss up for their birthday, it's a bit of a car crash for me, or it feels like pleasing different people at different times.
Yeah. It's too much stress trying to look after everyone. I don't enjoy myself. So I just go what I want on the moment and off I go.
Yeah.
Free spirit I am.
Like the free spirit. I think as well, as you get older, your birthday means less, not less, but like you're just a bit more chill. You just want to like have a rest and be with your loved ones.
I still get excited like a child. And like last year, I drove 40 minutes to pick up a vegan birthday cake I had made in the style of Harry Potter just for myself, because I'm that pathetic. But so I make a big deal out of it. Self-love and all that. But I make a big deal out of it just because I'm like, look at my Harry Potter cake. I love it. I might grow out of that. Chances are very slim.
To be fair, Harry Potter was my 25th birthday thing. Went to Harry Potter World for the first time. How many times have you been to Harry Potter World? Because it is in the numbers now, isn't it? Like it's quite high.
I'd say about 4 times.
Okay.
It's because I don't know if I told you that, you know, when we was all at theatre school, they used to pick out the kids in school to be the background.
Yeah.
So when I was a kid, like I was picked up from school and taken to be in the background of Harry Potter just some days, beat early maths. So so when I go back there, it's still very much the same. And it gives me that, it, you know, when you go somewhere and you get that, oh my God, this is just everything.
Just
I
magic.
Want. And I just feel that again. And then every time, if I'm feeling a bit low about my career sometimes, or if things aren't going where I want them to, I'll go there and I'll reignite that magic. And I'm like, no, keep going. It's just that little bit of extra keep going. We can have that in anything, you know. If you just find that something that ignites your fire a little bit and keeps you going. And that's Harry Potter World for me.
I think Harry Potter in general, there's something magic. I know it obviously is magic, what a stupid thing to say, but in general, like I just think it's got such, I mean, you just watch the films and it just feels, I don't know, there's just something so amazing about them. Yeah. Exactly. Well, anyways, away from Harry Potter, I don't know how we've gone to that, but hey. So the theme of this week's episode is all about second chances, cancel culture, which is a very touchy subject now in our kind of I don't know. I don't want to say modern day era because that sounds weird.
The social world, really, isn't it? The current social world.
Just kind of.
That's kind of it.
Yeah, it's kind of on the daily, isn't it? And I think, I think we kind of want to go more into that now. Maybe look at our opinions of it and how that's kind of impacted our lives, I suppose.
Yeah, and I feel like it's a good subject as well because it's something that I'm currently kind of dealing with. And, you know, I really wanted to get deep into this subject because I'll just start on with it. So there are types of people being cancelled. I'm not going to sit here and say some people shouldn't be, because I mean, if you're a paedophile and you're, you know, in the, like Jimmy Savile or something, of course, please be cancelled and get the hell away from everyone. You're genuinely a bad person. But what I'm talking about, every person makes a mistake. Every single person. If you haven't made a mistake, you haven't been living and you're doing something wrong, because that's how you learn. You have to grow and learn through mistakes. So I'm talking here about very different to like actually breaking the law and hurting people,
yeah,
such as paedophilia, murder, rape, 100%. You know, you've got to go to jail. You've got to do your time.
Yeah.
And hopefully get reformed, you know.
Yeah.
But this is where the fine line comes, because I was talking about reforming, or, you know, we spoke about the other day, privately, leopard changing their spots. Mm-hmm. And there's always been that tale, oh, a leopard never changes their spots. I don't agree with that, because a leopard does change its spots if it's working on itself and healing itself. If it's someone just giving it the gift of the gab and they're doing nothing different, they're probably not going to change their spots. But when you see someone actually working on themselves and doing, authentically living this change that they want in their lives, they are changing. Therefore, I mean, I look at myself 10 years ago, I was modeling. I didn't have any self-respect. I didn't have any self-love. I just didn't care. If there was a problem, I'd be drunk. I wouldn't deal with anything. I'd let bills pile up. I was an absolute nightmare. And it was because I didn't know how to deal with anything that was going on in my life. So the only answer was to me to self-destruct. That's all I knew what to do. About 5 years ago, I wanted to change my life. I thought, I'm not living like this anymore. I don't want to live like this anymore. I don't like my outcomes. The only person that can fix this is me. And if anyone has that type of self-awareness and that kind of moment when you're thinking, actually, this is all on me, how my life is going, you can change it. Now, one thing that got me was when people do that and they change and they're not given any opportunities, you see authentic change. But they think, oh, because they did something 10 years ago, or we won't use them for this, or we can't rent them this house because 10 years ago they did this, you know, that kind of thing. It's like, well, let's not look at 10 years ago. Let's look at now. Let's look what this person is doing. Let's see who this person is. People do change when they want to.
Yeah.
You know, and I wanted to, and I did. I'm a completely different human being to what I was 10 years ago. I don't even talk the same. I don't think it's just I've calmed down. I've worked on my stress systems. I'm a different person. And what precedent are we setting to young people that have grown up in awful environments, in terrible living arrangements, or through foster care, and they've struggled their whole lives? What precedent does it set if they go in the papers and they read, oh, this person's cancelled from something they did 10 years ago or 15 years ago, we're never working with them again, they're screwed now? What precedent does it set for them to think, actually, I want to change my life? It won't, because they're going to look and think, well, that person messed up 10 years ago and now they can't do anything with their lives ever again.
Yeah.
So why on earth would I want to change? Because that is going to be stuck with me for the rest of my life. And that scares me.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it is really scary. And I think the issue we've got now, I mean, it is a really hard subject, and that's why it doesn't get brought up. You know, it's a hard, tricky subject to bring up, because obviously, like you said, there is SA victims, there are people who are abused online, there are people that go through all sorts, and they should be cancelled, they should be stripped of their platform. Yeah. And it's safe to say that some kind of YouTubers have had that happen in the new year, because things came out from 10 years ago, and to me, the way they spoke moving forwards, it wasn't a change of behavior, and they deserved that. But I think that we all know that we are an outcome of how we've been brought up. We all know that maybe those years from kind of 15 to 25, you're still learning, you're developing as a human being, and the actions you take a lot of the time are from the way in which you were brought up, the tools that you were given to become an adult and to become somebody in life. And it's not always the correct path that you follow, but that doesn't mean that in another 5 to 10 years you're not a different person than that. I don't think there should be a public record on every move that you make that should be Googleable and stop you from taking simple everyday actions. I think the example you're referencing is basically that due to a mistake in the past, in like 10 years ago, something that is a complete different behavioral from someone now is basically being stopped from being able to rent a home, which is crazy that someone's been able to do a random Google and basically decide that something that happened 10 to 12 years ago is enough to now not be able to rent a home, which, as we just discussed like 20 minutes ago before we started this, especially when you rent a home, you put down a deposit, you have that safety net, you go and you speak to somebody. It reeks of injustice, the same as a lot of things in our society. And once again, something, cancel culture is there for a reason. It's there to stop predators and predatory behavior. And once again, now what's happening, the same as in all forms of our society, it's gone too far the other way. And it's now impacting and creating injustice for anyone in their walks of life.
Yeah. And it just worries me if we go even further into, like, say, the youth justice system, so like youth prisons. I mean, most of these kids are going to be reformed from let's be honest, they've probably not had the easiest of lives. They've had a setback from the minute they started, and therefore the injustice is unfairly already with them. They've already got that. They go into reform prisons, they change their ways, but then if people can just Google and find out this information, they're going to be halted their whole life because of something they were born into. And to me, it's just, it's so unfair, because no one asked to come into this world in terrible circumstances. It would be lovely if we could all be born into a beautiful family, you know, looked after, loved, nurtured, shown the way, but we're not. I mean, a lot of people are born into drug abuse, a lot of them are born into domestic violence, sexual abuse, and they're already on the back foot before they even started. Now, you want that person to follow the right path and do exactly as they're supposed to when they've never been shown that. It's just crazy. And to think if someone ends up with a platform of some description, whether it be acting, sports, whatever, to then have that follow them their entire life to the point when they're mid to late 30s, even older. Follow them, because they can always be traced to this. It makes no sense to me. And like I said, I'm not talking about grown people that are sexual predators, that are, you know, a danger to society. That is very, very different to someone that's just messed up and they're being judged for the rest of their lives.
I think as well, it just completely contradicts our rehabilitation as a society. I mean, we as a society are all about rehabilitation, therapy, coming out the other side, moving on, moving further, you know, don't cut yourself short. And yet you're constantly battling. I mean, it's so difficult. How are people meant to get through their lives when they make one mistake and then they spend the next rest of their lives battling that mistake with every other decision they make? Because people make, whether that's, oh, it can be all sorts of things, whether someone becomes homeless and then because they don't have a dress, they can't then can't get benefits, they then can't get somewhere to stay, they then can't get an income to be able to get off the streets. Maybe it's a kid that's been put into a drug pen. How are they then meant to get out of that? Because maybe then, like you say, they've got a criminal record. How do they get then rehabilitate? Because we know that most employers don't want to employ someone with a record unless it's a scheme. And those schemes only take, you know, they get probably a few hundred a year compared to the thousands that are going through that. And it is a major issue. And I think, I know this is touching on another issue, but it is really scary in the last couple of months what has come out about those in power. I mean, we're talking about the council culture and the fact that you make one mistake and you can't rehabilitate. Well, what about, I mean, I hate to say this, and some people listening might not agree, and everyone's entitled to their opinion, but what about our prime minister that can make 20 illegal mistakes and yet is still our prime minister? What about the police officers that...
Yeah, they're not cancelled. They're not somebody struck off. They're still there. They're still in power. They're still running a country from a corrupt place. And again, I keep my politics very too much to myself, but this is facts that we have seen that there has been, you know, laws broken by our very own prime minister, who is still in power. And it's the same, you know, when Trump was in power, there was many things that were done illegally, but they're not cancelled. It's almost like we're all going on about how we want this, you know, this white British male misogynistic patriarchy destroyed, you know, to give people fair opinions, fair living. But it's not happening, because the people in power do not get treated the same as those that aren't. Even like, you know, if you're a celebrity and you've done something a little bit stupid and you've got caught, blah blah blah, you're then struck off. You never act, or you'll never present, or you'll never do any of this again.
Yeah.
And it's like, hold on a minute, you've got someone lying and breaking laws, running the damn country,
yeah,
but you're going to cancel someone because they made a boo-boo? Like,
and then you have some celebrities that can do all sorts and they never get cancelled. It's like that thing, if you own it, you know, if you come out and you say, I'm a really terrible person, then suddenly that's fine because you said you're a terrible person. So we won't judge you anymore, because if as long as you know that you're a bit of a knob, then that's fine. But the minute that somebody goes quiet, or maybe, you know, steps away for a few years and then tries to come back and be on a better path, that's kind of worse. It's kind of like, and I do think I do think, and this is a real generalization, and, you know, any American listeners, feel free to kind of, you know, tell me I'm wrong, but I do think American culture is a lot more forgiving in some ways. It's like they let people do really well and they support that and they continue, and don't get me wrong, the same as anything, you have your kind of mobs of fans and things like that. But with us British, we are odd. It's like we want the underdog. We love an underdog and we want them to do really well, and we support them until they do too well, they get too big, and then we're like, right, we want to rip them down now. Let's find something. Let's bring them.
I spoke to a journalist once and they were saying to me that the American culture, they do want people to do well. It's almost like, they'll get a story or a scandal, but that's just part and parcel of it. But they said to me, it seems like British media just want to drag people. They want them ripped apart. They want, and again, I think it's got worse since social media came around, because it just suddenly snowballs. What used to be a chip paper the next day is now there for life. And I actually think articles about people shouldn't be left on Google. I think there should be a 3-year max where these articles, and then they have to vanish.
You know, I hope you don't mind me saying this, but let's not, you know, I don't think that broadcasters and media quite understand the impact they're having on people's lives. They think they're writing a 300-page online article about your love life, and they think, oh, that's fine. You know, who really cares? You know, this kind of, you know, you're not, but at the time, perhaps reality stars, new partner or whatever, let's write in that they've broken up, or let's write this. But if I was to have my dirty laundry out to thousands and millions of people about my interrelationships, maybe the fact that a relationship hadn't worked, or maybe it was working and they just decided it wasn't working, because they do that a lot as well, where they just double guess and they create the failure of relationships because they doom them from the beginning. But I don't think, something to them, I bet if I spoke to a reporter, a showbiz reporter, they would think that's an innocent article. They'd at least think, oh, it's just a bit of gossip. But let's face it, our love lives are some of the most intrinsic, heartbreaking things that we will ever go through. I mean, love is, it really does, you know, make the world go round. Like those turbulent times where you're either at an absolute high or an absolute low, actually going onto Google and seeing an article like that can break you. Do you know what I mean? I just don't think the impact of not even just cancel culture, just our culture as it is, our showbiz culture, our media culture, you know, what people think they can publicize about any human being. I mean, I had a girl, I went to college with her, we're not particularly close now, but she did, she used to work at Primark, and she did some TikToks that went viral about like Primark secrets. And then a couple of months ago, it went on to like Snapchat, I think it was the Sun or the Daily Mail, I can't remember. And I remember her putting something on Facebook that I couldn't believe. And she got abuse, like her appearance, everything, just because without her knowledge, the Sun had decided to put her on an online article. She was getting abuse left, right, and center. And it, you just think they've done that as like a little, oh, look at this girl who's gone viral. How cute. Oh, she's talking about Primark. It's led to abuse and she felt awful. And you just think the impact you're having on people is just, I mean, I couldn't work. I genuinely could not work at one of those magazines, companies, newspapers. I don't agree with what they
Put out.
That's it.
Put out. We'll go with that.
Thank you. I needed that.
I think the problem is that it's such a fine line between freedom of speech now.
Yeah.
And someone can be an absolute dreg of society and an arsehole to anyone they want online and go, freedom of speech.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you police someone from being an arsehole? And this is what's so difficult. And this is where social media is I have to keep coming back to it because it's such a big part of our world now.
Yeah.
But I mean, social media, you do something wrong in the paper, you get a million clicks on that, suddenly you're cancelled because it's gone on social media. If it had just been an article in the newspaper on a Sunday, yeah, vanished. Yeah. And this is what I mean. It suddenly becomes 20 times more, you know, so highlighted and so awful.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you're like the biggest trash on earth. And it's like, whoa, hold on. Yeah. Where do I go from here? And
yeah.
I mean, there is two worlds now. There is reality and there is an online world. And especially for people a bit younger than me, my niece's age, maybe like 14s, 15s, their world is a lot of it now is online rather than actual reality. And if you're getting bullied day in, day out, and even if you're like a TikTok star or an influencer and you're in your early 20s and you're getting all this abuse, I know I wouldn't have dealt with that. 20-year-old me, like I was saying, I was completely and utterly lost. And if I'd have had social media at that point, I don't think we really had it. It wasn't a big thing then. I would have really, really struggled. And I don't know. I mean, I was going through really bad mental health problems back then. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what would have happened to me if that was that.
Exactly.
And I don't know how they're going to fix this issue. I think people, the only way it's fixed is we can just have a group of, a whole world of people that are kind and not arseholes. But I don't
know. It won't happen.
It won't happen because there's too many unhealed people.
Problem is, we can't bring in reforms, like you just said very poignantly. We cannot bring in reforms and things around what people can say online because it is a matter of freedom of speech. Mm. However, I don't understand why we haven't created a culture of cancelling journalists and online abusers who talk of people in a shit way. Why haven't we got a reverse cancel culture? Why aren't we calling out the Daily Mail who are commenting on people's weight and making them feel disgusting? Why aren't we calling out the people that created the articles that perhaps led to the downfall of Carolyn Flack's mental health and led to her committing suicide? Like, why aren't we canceling those who are creating a mass issue with mental health within the industry? Do you know what I mean? Like, why, you know, we need to be fighting back, if anything, because I
it's
don't
that power
think...
again, isn't it, the power, the patriarchy all up there just getting away with everything. And it's sad. It's really sad. But this pod is hard for me because normally I will, you know, when it comes to our health and our well-being and things like that, I can kind of understand and we can have a good discussion and kind of fix it at the end. But this is something I honestly don't know how to fix.
No,
I just hope by doing podcasts about these things,
and
taking a discussion about it, makes people see things differently.
Yeah,
like you said, I couldn't personally go and berate someone. I wouldn't go on my phone to be nasty and cancel someone. I wouldn't, even if someone's done the worst, I don't go on my phone publicly and ever say anything to anyone. I'll be like, oh my god, this has happened. This is awful.
I think the best thing people can do is when they're scrolling through Daily Mail, they see a headline when they're scrolling through Facebook, they see whatever it is. I feel like, I hope Daily Mail don't listen to this because I have bloody well called them out. but I hope anyone who's scrolling and does see an article about somebody, whether they're famous, whether they're not, whether they've just been brought into an article, they just think about A, whether it's all truthful, whether it's 100% true, are the facts, you know, is it all, or is it slightly made up hearsay sources that don't really exist? And I want them to also think about maybe that the person themselves has already been through enough retribution. Like, you don't know that this hasn't happened a month ago, that they haven't already sat down with family, friends, been through this and now in therapy. You know, what good is it you writing a comment or sending abuse or even like liking it or even reading it, like giving it the attention? We don't know people's lives, their situations, where they're going to be in 5-10 years. And all I'd say is, I mean, I do probably the minimum, actually. A lot more people do a lot more than me in many ways. But by having this podcast, and I do share anything I'm passionate about onto like my story of people doing protests or things that calling out media. And I know there's an amazing, is it Alex Light? And she has a great Instagram and she's just brought out a book and a podcast where she basically calls out people who use language around women and men's weight kind of in media, and she's great to follow. But yeah, I think you just, let's all remember people are human beings, and it's a lot easier said than done because I do it about people that I feel are even, you know, are
a level past us, especially when they don't live in our country. Mm. So you can have an opinion, you know, about Kim, like the Kardashians, and you go, well, they put themselves on telly for 15 years. So I'll think whatever the bloody hell I want. Well, actually you can't, because they've shown you like 5% of their life. They're doing it because they're building their empire, their family. And actually, no, she doesn't deserve to be cheated on. She doesn't deserve to be being bashed in the media, left, right, and bloody center. No one deserves it, whether you think it's right or wrong.
It's kind of bizarre to have such strong opinions in the first place, that you feel like, oh, me telling her she's ugly and fat, that she needs to hear that. No, she doesn't. Number one, it's unkind and you look bad. And number two, you're just hurting someone. Yeah. So how can you sit and judge someone if you're physically going out of your way to hurt someone? Because you're not a good person. That's unkind. No. Remember the old tale, if you haven't got anything nice to say, don't say anything?
Yeah.
That is needed more often, and people just don't see it, and it, and all that. I wish people could see from when they're coming from this unhealed nasty state, and all these comments and cancelling and all this, I wish they could see themselves through the eyes of someone that is self-assured, because they look unwell, they look unhealed, they look bitter, they look jealous, they look twisted. They don't, I wouldn't read a comment, even if I slightly thought, okay, yeah, that person's a dick, but they've got bashed here, I still wouldn't look at that comment and think, oh, haha, look what they've said. No, I would still think you've got too much time on your hands, and you've got too much bitter inside you to even comment on this.
Yeah, and people used to be able to make mistakes, and they could move past it, because it wasn't, like you said, written in history, written on Google forever. And they're also, you know, there didn't used to be Google to check on people or Facebook to check on people. You'd have references, you know, you'd have family, friend, employer references. And what's happened to that? Because they're the ones that know the people.
And exactly, Google, they know
shit. Yeah, exactly. Google doesn't know shit. Google, so someone you've never 10 met years ago. Exactly. Like, it's just, I think this is something we're particularly passionate about, especially yourself, because you've been through something like that recently. So I think that, you know, people might be thinking, why are you guys commenting on this? How does this affect you? Well, actually it does. This is the point. Things, very minor things, things from the past, actually still are haunting us to this day. And it's still going on and causing issues to your life.
Yeah, and this is the thing. It's like, if you Google back in the day when I was modeling, when I was, and I did a tiptoe in reality TV, I looked like a party girl. The reality is for the last 5 years, I hardly ever go out. I'm in bed by 8:30 every single night with a book. I'm in the bath by 7 p.m. I cook home cooked meals. Me and my boyfriend are very chilled. We're very relaxed. None of us go clubbing.
Yeah,
we've grown, because unfortunately Google doesn't like to let people realize 10 years have passed and someone's grown up and got their shit together.
No one's and writing that up about you being in the bath, are they? Do you know what I mean?
No, exactly.
But actually, why isn't there? Why isn't there articles on Jess Impiazi, you know, advice from your 30s? Do you know what I mean? Mm. Like, you know, why isn't there? Why isn't there articles to say, actually, I went through a lot when I was younger. So I took out in my 20s. And now look at me. There's hope. Girls, it's fine. You go
and
through
shit. And that is my thing.
Yeah.
Hope. And that's another thing, what I wanted to bring up, and I'm so glad you just said that, was because, again, it's that I want to help people look back and say, actually, I can change because of I've seen this person do it, rather than, oh, I want to change, but look, that person wasn't given a second chance. That person was just right off on their life's crap.
We have to allow that to be out there. We need a platform, and that's what we're creating here. But you do, you need platforms in which people can say that and have their say and have their truth and say, actually, it's not all bad. It's not just 10 times a day someone screwing up. There's actually people, and there is. I mean, it, you know, if we went through it, maybe I will go through like the last 10 years of people. Exactly. But they've written bloody articles about, and let's see. That's what I'm going to do. Next week, I'm going to have three people that they have written shitty things about that have come out the other side. I'm coming for you next.
Well, and this is the thing, like I do feel in a way I have been, I'm not even going to say lucky, because yes, I messed up in my 20s and I was wild, but I've just, like I think I told you on the pod last week or the week before, I have just landed my dream acting role in the BBC series of Strike. It's because I've fought and I've changed everything. I've pulled myself out of any sort of limelight where they ask me into. I don't want to be interviewed. Yeah. I just want to go to work. I want to come home and I want to be at peace. And when you authentically live it, that's where the hope comes, because that's what I'm trying to tell people. You authentically live it and you get to that point and you're like, I've done it, I'm working on it, and I've been given a chance. So yeah, now yeah. I'm hoping that continues, and I want people to take that out of this as well, that there is still hope because it has worked for me.
Absolutely. And I mean, I was with you, wasn't it? When was this? Was this November? And you were spoken to by somebody, and instantly it was about reality TV. Mm. And obviously I've not known you from that background at all. No. I've only ever known you as an actress. So for me, I couldn't believe it. And do you remember I said to you, I went, well, how long ago was it that you did anything to do with that? Yeah, you're like fucking years and years ago. Like, yeah. And it's just, it's so aggravating as a friend to see that, because it's like you said, even in person, then there's no evolution. There's no moving on. It's like, oh, change the record. Do you know what I mean? People change all the time. Like, I've got family, and I'm trying to think of an example. You know, you have family that changed career 3 times, don't you? Like,
yeah.
I've got family that changed jobs and that, and they're different, completely different places to where they were 10 years ago. Same
you
as
don't
me.
Sit and
I mean,
talk about that. Oh, remember when you did this? That's
yeah,
too bad. The next
exactly.
Like,
yeah, exactly. I don't bring them into a corner and go, oh, do you only do that because you didn't, I don't know, you changed. Oh, I don't know. It's just ridiculous, isn't it? It's so aggravating.
Yeah. And that's why I was saying about the internet being such a problem. I feel like people can reinvent themselves in normal everyday jobs whenever they want to, and it's fine. But you go anywhere in the public, because the media put you there, you're then frozen in time, because your Google is suddenly this, you're frozen there, and it's so hard to move on from, because one little, you know, if I wanted to go and work in law, for instance, or childcare, they'll Google, oh, she used to model, but probably not, can't use her as a teacher. You know what I mean? And this is all so long ago, but it's just like that. There should be a thing that wipes things after 3 years of anyone, and you can opt in or opt out.
And I hope that no one, if they are listening to us, who do it, I hope they don't feel like I'm judging them. But I do feel sorry for the generation who have decided to partake in kind of things like OnlyFans and Pornhub and things like that, because I understand it's empowering and they are welcome to do whatever they choose with their body. However, I worry for them in the future that it will come back to haunt them. And in 10, 20 years, they are finding their route. They are doing a different path. And I hope to God that these things, like you said, that will it always be there? You know, will you always Google it and it comes up with that? And this is a scary thing now with Google, is you choose to do something. You know, you could choose 20 years ago. I mean, I was 5 20 years ago, but take what I mean. You know what I mean, with a pinch of salt. You know, people could 20 years ago, like you said, change their career, and there wasn't articles and Google to hold them to account. They could do what they wanted. Whereas now, right, for example, isn't it? I hate those articles where they're like 10 actors who now have normal jobs. And you know, they're like working for Amazon or wherever it is, and they're a hairdresser, and it's like they're shaming them. Well, why are you shaming them? Because the acting industry is fucking hard. And if you decide to have a job because you've not worked for 3 years to put like food on the table for your kids, why are you being shamed for that? Why are you being cancelled because you've chosen to do that? And probably not even chosen. You've probably been forced into doing that. It's out of your control. I've got really aggy.
No, do you know what? I've been like this the whole podcast, because it actually infuriates me. Yeah. So, like, I agree. Who thinks, I know, I'm going to do an article to absolutely shame someone that is struggling to do a career. We know very well how difficult the acting career is. My driver that, I mean, I feel so lucky to say I had a driver take me to my work at BBC. You know, I was sat in the car thinking, I was looking out the window in my own movie, like, oh, I'm amazing.
Flashing it.
Yeah. I was talking to the driver, and he was saying, I was telling him, it's difficult. And we were having this discussion. He works, you know, he drives all the actors all the time for all these series. Mm-hmm. And he said to me, you're working now, you're in the 1% that are just from doing this. Yeah. And I was like, Jesus, that is how crazy
it is.
This is a relatively short job I've got on compared to people that are doing seasons and seasons of stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm in that 1% now. Yeah. And it's the 1% of that 1% that are doing like the you know, full on 10 seasons of Breaking Bad or 5 seasons of Breaking Bad, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's a struggle. So how dare someone that sat behind a desk typing up about someone else's life shame them for real having a passion?
Yeah.
Do you know what? That infuriates me as well, because without passion or hope for something, what is the point? You've got to love something. And whether it just be a hobby, you've got to love something.
Yeah.
And because someone else has decided to shame them for that, that could end up someone giving up, and then for the next 40 years change the complete trajectory of their lives.
Yeah.
Because someone has decided, I'm going to shame them and publicly humiliate them. It's disgraceful.
It is. And you wouldn't shame an author who's trying to write a book. You wouldn't shame her for working in Sainsbury's. Do you know what I mean? So why are you shame? Because it's the same. It's that creative industry.
Telling a story.
Exactly. You put a lot of your free time into this. I mean, like, I worked in a convenience store when I was like 18, and it was like, you know, doing free gigs, doing this just to build your CV, just to have that experience. Like, it's you do so much kind of free dog work when you're starting out. Like, you really are kind of, it is a crazy one. But I think the only advice that I can give to people is, I mean, for people that have gone through it and they've made these mistakes, all you can do is keep going on and know that the people around you, and that you will get through it, and that there will be opportunities, or people will not Google and will not be pricks. And you just hope that you can find those people, or find ways around it, find ways that you can get around it, hopefully. And for those people around council culture and who feel that they can judge people and comment on aspects of their life, material, external, internal, then stop and be a better person. Or I think that I hope it will swing the other way, and that those people will be cancelled and called out for their actions.
Yeah, because it is bullying at the end of the day.
It is bullying. It's bullying,
and I don't like it. I'm not a fan.
I like that. We'll end it. And I don't like it.
I don't like it. End of bye, everyone.
No, it's so
no true. Advice today, just anger.
And I feel like this will probably end up having a part two, because I think we've only really touched the surface with it. Touch the surface. Oh, wow. Touch the surface.
That's how livid we are.
Touch the surface. No, I think we have only touched the surface. And I think that there's much more we can talk about. And I'd like to revisit this subject at some point with you and see where we're at. But we have reached
I think my advice on that, my real quick advice would be, whereas I've kind of gone through it a little bit, I suppose, because I wanted to get into a career I couldn't get into because of my past.
Yeah.
I've now done it. So just hold out for hope. If you authentically change and be who you really want to be without the outside noise of what you expect, others expect of you, live true to yourself, live kindly, I think it will change around. And I think that is something to hold on to.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to say a big thank you to Jess, actually, because Jess is the one who came to me and said about bringing up this subject. And I think it is incredibly important, and a discussion that constantly needs to be ongoing, whether you're in the industry or not, because you're the one seeing it every day on your social media, reading these articles. Every single person, no matter what aspect of life they're in, they're seeing this left, right and centre. So yeah, fabulous. Thank you, darling.
No, thank you, darling.
That is all for this week, guys. Thank you so much for listening.
And we'd like to say a special thank you to Audio Boom for distributing the series, Raspberry Films for producing the series, and Dan Popple for our lovely, lovely theme tune. Thanks, guys. Can't wait to speak to you next week.